Chup chup. Chup chup. Chup chup. Chup chup. Chup chup. Hola!
Welcome.
All you BFD bitches. Fortnite!
We just saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and we are here to give you a out-of-the-theater movie review.
And let me tell you, this was a pretty packed theater. Not for real, but kind of more than so, and we had to sit on the side, which kind of sucked. But, hey, well, he's...
Mantis.
Yeah.
Obviously, because of the eyes.
I'm Drax!
No, you're the fat one.
Yeah, Drax.
Oh. All right, so let's get into it, all right? So... The actual story that happens, right? We open up on Quill being depressed about Gamora.
Buddies fighting Devil Spawn.
We open up, Quill's depressed about Gamora.
And then Adam Warlock comes in and takes them all out, and then they stop him, but he's okay. And then Rocket Raccoon is, like, temporarily out of the movie. And by temporarily, I mean for the majority of the movie. And so the whole movie is about them trying to get this, like, little thing off of Rocket so that they can medically help him. And then we see flashbacks of Rocket growing up with all of the experiments and everything. The group comes to an understanding of him. Gamora and Peter are like, hey, you know.
And Peter's like, I used to like you. And she's like, I'm not her. And we go and we fight the High Evolutionary, but not really, because nobody actually fights him, now that I think about it.
That's weird. That's not
Well, true. I guess they all punch him once at the very end.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I don't know.
Consider fighting.
It's very evolved. So anyways, they save the day, and then the whole gang splits up at the end. So that's your
Spoilers.
That's your very quick synopsis, so let's get into that. How do you guys feel about just the movie in general?
I feel okay.
I don't know. Like, I felt okay. And I don't know. In terms of MCU films, like, the first act was very refreshing. And then by the time it was over, I was like, damn, that could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, again, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably one of the best MCU films we're going to get out of the saga. And I don't mean that in terms of this was a bad movie and this is what we're going to have to deal with. I mean that in terms of this was good. At the very least, like, the writer and the actors all enjoyed what they were doing. Unlike Ant-Man, this was a film that was more focused as an entry in, like, the trilogy of this property rather than just world building on the saga. Of course, there is some on the side, and of course, you know, you get a good bit of Kang, and I liked what we got of Kang in this movie than we did in Ant-Man.
What?
A little bit more, huh?
We didn't get Kang in this movie.
The Conqueror? Kang the Conqueror?
No. In Guardians of the Galaxy?
King?
Were you
That
there?
Was King!
That was the High Evolutionary. We go and we fight the High Evolutionary, but not really, because nobody actually fights him.
Was that not?
That was high not. Evolutionary.
Were you watching the movie? What the fuck?
I thought he was one of the variants.
Holy shit.
Was he not one of the variants?
He doesn't look like Jonathan Majors at all!
Yo, he pulled.
Oh my god.
Who was that one guy who called,
Did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? My mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
Hey guys. He went this whole movie thinking that was Kang. What the?
He went. You know, I really like Jonathan Majors' performance in this movie. I didn't even realize it was him.
Hey guys.
Oh my god.
Hey,
what do you think about this movie, Kyle?
Hey guys.
I'm so at a loss.
Hey guys. I feel a little sick.
I will say I forgot we watched Quantumania. I forgot that came out. I was thinking, like, what has come out at least at this point? I forgot the Quantumania was a part of that.
Yeah, I don't think about it very often. To let you know, my general thoughts on the movie are, I agree with Chris. The first act
Kang was great.
I agree with Chris. Kang was awesome. I loved him. I really liked the part where he wasn't Kang. Really threw me for a loop. I really enjoyed the first act of this movie, but basically once they left the Celestial Head nowhere, the movie was kind of iffy for me. It had a lot of really great scenes in there, but this has been my problem with almost every Marvel movie so far, is that it seems that they're writing the endings of these characters before anything else, and so it feels like I'm getting a lot of payoffs without setups. We had a lot of emotional scenes towards the third act that were supposed to be the completion of a character arc or a story beat, but I didn't feel like the groundwork was laid, other than, hey, you gotta work on that, man. And then the climax of the movie, they're like, I've worked on it. And then they cry a little bit, and then the music swells, and then you're like, oh, wow. Cinema.
All right, so we're gonna work backwards with story, because, you know, that's what Kyle likes to talk about a lot, so that's what we're gonna do. The ending. I tell you, did not know what this movie was gonna be. Did not expect it to be a Guardians Depart film, a Toy Story 4, but Guardians. And it did not feel like that until they did it.
Yes, and that is why it is highly unsatisfying. Yes. It's supposed to make you feel, because it's the exact opposite of what you want.
Yes.
And that can be done in movies, certainly. Again, it's a payoff without much of a setup. Peter goes and finds his grandfather, which I thought was a nice touch. I'm pretty sure that was the same actor from the first one in like the intro scene of the first Guardians. It might have been, it might not have been, but he looked similar, and I recognized who he was. Yeah. But that was done because Mantis said one line at the beginning of Act 1.
Yeah.
It never referenced again. Mantis left to go do her own thing, which again, that was not a part of the film. But she said, I also have to go do my own solo TV show for Disney Plus. And they said, oh, that checks out.
Drax the Destroyer became Drax the Daddy.
Now, that was the only thing that I thought was good out of their endings. That and basically Drax and Nebula end up kind of running nowhere. And they basically are raising a bunch of kids and running the city. And I thought that was a good ending for them. Specifically, it did get me when she said, you're not Drax the Destroyer, you're Drax the father. And I thought, that's...
Said, which I wish is what she did.
She should have said that. She said, yeah, you're like Father Drax, and then she did this.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done, specifically because that's calling back to the first two movies.
Like, and not just the first two movies, but one of the first character traits that we, like, actually learn about Drax.
Correct. And it does come back, it should have been set up more so in the first act, but it was used throughout the movie, his kind of fatherly, kind of joking around, but protective nature. So we do see that, and so I felt like that was the most satisfying ending for them. Rocket became the leader of the Guardians, which I think is perfectly fine. I think that was kind of set up over the trilogy, more or less, but I think that's fine. But again, Gamora going and doing her own thing so she can have her own TV show with Rocky, like that... I'm sorry, but that's completely unsatisfying.
Well,
that is only done so we have one person that we know that's going to be in the TV show. Because you know that that's going to happen.
And it feels like it was more, like you said earlier, just scenes. Nothing was quite cohesive. Everything felt like you could almost take it out of context and have your own individual scene. And be like, oh, I like that scene. And you just put a bunch of those in a row, much like the Mario movie. It felt very similar to that.
Yes. Now, I would say that this movie's better than the Mario movie.
100%.
But I do understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. And that's why it's so frustrating, especially seeing the past two Guardians movies. The themes of the first two movies are all about coming together and the shared family, what it means to be a family. This one is what it means to move on.
Which is a very, very powerful idea for this series specifically. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, taking what we said about Ant-Man and the Wasp 3, where this one is continuing that plot line, that thematic through line, which they end up doing, but like you said, throughout the entire film, besides a few lines, nothing ever really played out in that way. I mean, we see, you know, Star-Lord trying to hold on to Rocket, I guess. I mean, that's
right.
What that felt like, but then
and there was one scene where like Rocket was getting close to dying, and or it was a scene where we thought maybe he might die, and Gamora was like, he's gone, and he's like, no, I'm not letting go, and I read that as he was talking to her.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, that's gonna be really good when that comes back in the film, and it doesn't resolve. Peter's whole thing in the entire trilogy is how he doesn't want to let go of this new family. He has found these people. He is calling them his family because he's had nobody. And then this film randomly decides to end because he can't get with Gamora because of Disney Plus TV show. He says, well, I don't need you guys anymore. I'm going to go talk to my biological family that have no relevance on anything that's happened so far in my life other than this trauma that happened at the beginning. It's not that that can't happen, it's that it wasn't built up to. Again, and what do we mean when we say that? We mean speaking what you want to happen at the end of the film is not the same as giving your characters choices to act that show how the ending is going to come about.
There's, well, right, and to put it more simply for you BFDers who haven't received their degree yet.
And by the way, if you subscribe, it will come into the mail. It might be stopped by UPS.
But as you know, like when you get the degree is when the knowledge is
exactly.
So,
yeah. So
for simpler terms, just to clarify, basically there's no evidence in the film of this happening. There's no moments where Quill has to face this. And specifically talking about what you just were, he doesn't lose anything. So his character arc in this film is about him not letting go. And instead of him learning how to do that through various actions, whether it be losing somebody or having to let someone go, whatever way that looks like, Rocket dying, Gamora leaving, which again, he decides to let her go. So it's not quite the same in his head, not even really on screen. There's a flip. No, there's a switch that just flips.
Yeah.
Because I think if we would have lost Rocket, which would have sucked, absolutely, then I think that would have given him a little push in that direction. That there would have been something that now forced his hand to change rather than just deciding to.
Yeah, again, because Peter starts the movie not being able to let go of the memory he had of Gamora, right? It's driven him to alcoholism. And then the rest of the movie happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, never comes back up again.
I think like it may have been like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's gone.
Yeah. And the movie starts like with this oneer, and we can maybe get into the filmmaking a little bit because there's a lot that I want to talk about that's good.
Yeah.
But the movie starts as a oneer following Rocket, and you're like, okay, here's our main character. And then the actual main character comes in, is drunk, and then they put him on the bed, and then he gets up because somebody's fighting, and he's like, oh, okay, pew, 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 figured it out, boom. Oh, no, Rocket's dead. Now we're good.
Well, he's not dead.
Well, yeah, but he thinks so. And it's just, it's kind of frustrating. It's like, shouldn't that drive him further into alcoholism?
He's immediately resolved there.
Right, yeah. And it's like, I get it. Like, he's like, okay, Rocket's about to die. I need to get into gear. But wouldn't it be more interesting of a character beat that he sees this and all he sees is despair?
Right.
He doesn't see anything out of it.
He didn't struggle with it.
Right.
At all.
And so it's, again, it's like, it's basically lazy screenwriting to say, character's alcoholic, and the audience goes, oh my god, they're so sad.
Yeah.
Ah!
So, camera cut, so we're back, battery died, and here we are. I forgot what I was talking about, so we're moving on.
But yeah, as far as the story goes, it was it's lackluster, and that's a real shame, because I was telling Jake the last week, I think, I was like, if they don't put out something that I am meh about, something that I just kind of like, then the trilogy as a whole will be perfect to me.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, because about halfway through this movie, I was like, my God, this ending better be good. And then the ending was the exact opposite of where the character should have been. And maybe that's because Endgame, Infinity War killed off Gamora, and then Endgame brought her back, and she doesn't have any of the memories. Maybe that's because of that, and so they had to rewrite an ending. I can't imagine that after Guardians 2, this is where the trilogy would have ended had that have happened. Regardless, it's just a shame.
Take Gamora out, and this film could have had a way better trajectory. That's
yeah.
what I think. Okay, so there is a lot to talk about story wise with this film. Mm-hmm. A lot. It's a 2.5 hour movie, and there's a lot. But we're gonna move on to other things. Number one, I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a good time. I had a fun time. For being as sort of bland as it was, like, philosophically and mentally and whatnot, emotionally, it was a good time. I laughed a lot. There were some really funny things. Like, there was one part where they're entering Orgo Borgo, or whatever it's called, a lot of these names sounded like they were sitting at the writer's desk, and they were like, what do you want to call them? And they were like, fucking Bleedle Snort or something.
They were like, write that down.
It's like Jonathan in the D&D movie, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
But I think that was the best part of this film. Sort of this random quirky humor, right? But like these random things that were like, just fuck, the Orgo Borgo was just made out of flesh. And that Mantis, you know, when they're in Orgo Borgo, was like, you're madly in love with Drax. And he was like,
yeah, and Drax was like,
what's up?
Hey.
And he was like, why do you do this every time? Which is a great little line to throw in there without showing that. Just that little bit, and then it adds.
Yeah.
And so throughout the entire film, there's just a bunch of these little, like, silly, stupid things, similar to the tonality of Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave, where it doesn't really make any sense, but it's okay.
Yeah, it fits kind of what you expect the characters to do. Yeah, I think the comedy worked pretty well.
Better than Screaming Goats.
That's true. Way better than Thor 4. Yeah, Star-Lord was practical. And
Rocket Raccoon was practical.
Yeah,
they literally in a suit.
They did what the backstory was before. Yeah,
they put him in the Willy Wonka like shrinking machine.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Mike TV ass.
Yeah,
but that was good. The filmmaking was really good. I'm gonna say it right now.
Uh-oh.
Since the battle with Thanos on like the moon, on the Titan moon in Infinity War, since then, the best action scene in an MCU movie was the oneer in the hallway. I don't know what it is about hallways, man, but you can just make a good action scene in a hallway.
Look, it was mainly CGI, okay? But it looked good.
It looked good.
And it had, and see, I'm a fan of this. Maybe like, I like sort of that tinge of CGI.
Yeah.
It was super choreographed and, they might have mocapped that.
I mean, there was definitely some filmed elements there. Yeah. And obviously, you know, it's stitched together and everything, but it looked really good. And
very
the action,
reminiscent of Kingsman.
It did feel like that. And that was a mental note I made. I'm glad you said that. But it just, it felt good to watch. The action was easy to follow, and that's the most important part. And all the characters got their time to shine. That was the best like action scene since Infinity War, in my opinion.
And there were several action scenes that were similar to that.
Shang-Chi's bus thing. That was pretty good. But
the end when they're defeating Kang and they're all in there together, and they all, it's short. It's like 15 seconds. It's not very long. But I feel like, and maybe we'll go back to story, that moment
felt that moment felt very satisfying because this is the entire film. Everybody's been kind of separated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, you can pick up on that. That's been visible. That's been apparent. And they all come together for this moment. For Rocket, which is something that Gamora had been questioning, which we did see a little bit in the third act again, where she's sort of like, why didn't the camera... But they all come together mm-hmm. in this moment, and they kick his ass.
The film's not a total bust. It's not. You're gonna enjoy it if you turn your brain off, which I don't think is a good thing, by the way.
I don't either.
But it's funny. Like I said, the action's pretty good. It looks pretty good. There were maybe like a few times where I was like, that looks kind of weird, and it wasn't meant to.
When Adam Warlock came down for the first time, and Drax is holding his arms, and I don't know if you saw this, maybe not, maybe I'm just fucking crazy, but his face, Drax's face looks, I don't know how to describe it. It looked like it was being stretched this way, but also kind of this way, because he's holding him, and he's like, and it's like,
Just drop
it. Last comments. And then we're going to be done. So, the thing I liked least about this movie was that they just kept putting songs in.
Yes. And the songs were great. And that's part of what pissed me off. There were fucking awesome songs that were just wasted.
Also, I loved how creepy a lot of the stuff was.
What's the deal with Phase 5 and vegetable people?
I don't know, but it's cool.
I swear to God, that's an on-running joke.
All right, like, Kyle, closing comments?
Closing comments, I agree with Chris. I just wish this had been more emotionally satisfying.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be an ending, although not, because everybody's going to get their own thing, I'm sure of it. They're probably going to come back in, the last bits of Phase 5 and 6, Phase 6. I just wish that we had had a better resolution to these characters because we're probably not going to see them all in a movie together, and it's a little disappointing.
Props to Bradley Cooper to not being on set at all and being the most like emotional actor in this movie.
Yes. So now that those are our thoughts.
Yes.
Ratings. I'm going to give this. Six out of 10.
I give it a 5 out of 10.
In terms of MCU, I give it like a high 8 or low 9. In terms of movie, if it wasn't for Groot's last line, I would give it a 6. But I gotta go with a 5.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you think what we had to say was said by us, then drop a comment. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you disagree. Let us know if you agree. Also put your ratings in the comments.
Yeah, but if you could like this video, that really helps boost this in the algorithm. Please do that. And if you feel so inclined and you don't want to pay, like, I don't know, $30,000 for a college degree, you can just subscribe to the channel and you'll get your degree. Look,
and if you do,
I subscribed to the channel. Look what happened. Huh?
Well, you also went to school.
Look at how happy he is.
Anyway.
It's worth it.
And if you put on your bell notifications icon, you get express shipping. Still post office, so I don't know. And with that,
we're gonna close it out.
We are
done.
Groot. God, okay. Jesus.
Sorry.